Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be discussing something I know you're interested in. It has been a passion in my life for many, many years. And the woman that we have as a guest today, Nancy, and I hope I pronounce it, Nancy, you're going to have to say it because my tongue just didn't get it out there. How do we pronounce your last name?
You did it just fine. Nobody ever gets it. It's Duterte.
Duterte. Okay. There we go. This woman is wonderful. She has put out a book called Psychic Intuition. And I'm here to tell you that her perspectives and her way of approaching the intuitive arena on various levels is wonderful. It is healthy, it's down to earth, and there's no woo-woo. So we're really going to have a good time with Nancy. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Don. I appreciate it.
I was really intrigued right off the bat to find that you were a trained psychic detective. Now, this is so rare to the best of my awareness. I have only been aware of two people that in my many years of being in the work that I would even call close to being competent in this arena. And I was very impressed with the fact that you said trained, because that is a key. Why do people seem to think you have to be dropped on your head or be born upside down with seven veils over your face or something to this level before you can even recognize you have the abilities? I feel, always have felt, because I had to train myself, and you were used the word trained. What was it that made you decide you even wanted to explore this?
Actually, I didn't. I started out I had decided to write a book about intuition, and I thought it was going to be a book about psychology. So I looked into, you know, all the stuff that was written on intuition by the psychologist, and I very quickly discovered that they were not at all interested in the topic, and they really didn't like it. So they call it other things like empathy, which, you know, may be a part of intuition, but it is not intuition. It's controllable, and intuition is, to some degree, uncontrollable. You know, when I started researching neuroscience and they weren't answering any questions, finally I realized that I was going to have to start talking to people who I had previously considered kind of woo-woo and way out there. I mean, what I discovered through all my interviews is, I mean, the world just got crazier and crazier, but fascinating. You know, stuff I just never even imagined, and people were talking about it, and actually really intelligent people were talking about it. And then I decided that if I was going to talk about it correctly, I couldn't talk about it like any other academic subject, you know, where you talk about things. I had to learn it experientially, so I had to learn to see what it was sort of from the inside. So I started sitting in on some workshops with one of them was actually my mentor, who I ended up training for about 10 years with her, Nancy Roland Weber. And I also trained with many mediums and medical intuitives. My intention as I was sitting in those various workshops was not to, you know, make a living or you know, become what they were. I just wanted to feel it. And what I discovered along the way was I seemed to have this talent for it, but I kept denying it. I said, nah, that's chance, it's coincidence, it's a lucky guess, it's, you know, whatever. And you get...
Are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh. All of a sudden, your voice went away. You went away. So that's why.
Oh. Okay. Well,
all right.
Happened.
So, yes. Okay. So you were saying we missed part of it.
I'm not. Well, you get to a point where you have to say, you know, if I can do these things and I sort of can't explain them this many times in a row, there's something else to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point, and people, I mean, my teachers were sort of laughing at me at a certain point for not believing in myself. And finally, I decided I had to believe in myself. And that is when I decided to take it on as training. Mm-hmm. And you're right, training is unusual. And it's part of what I have tried to sort of explain to people or teach people in my book, which is that we can all do this. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Well, I agree with you to a point, but I would say if I were to amend that, I would amend it in this way, that everyone, it's innately built in within us. It's part, I've always said for years, it's part of our survival kit. But to be able to utilize it and to know how it's going to work through you in its best format, that I think is a real challenge. And I was really impressed with a number of the people that you interviewed. And I think that your mentor, Nancy, I just think that she probably was an incredible teacher. And good teachers are very difficult to find. They're not easily intimidated, or they don't allow other people to play head games with them. And they're very grounded, usually, a very good teacher. And I think that that's wonderful that you had such a good teacher. Let's talk about Ingo Swann, because Ingo Swann, I believe, is in his 80s now. He was involved in remote viewing. This is a man who was tremendously talented in the psychic area, worked with the CIA. How were you able to connect with Ingo Swann? Because he's very reclusive.
Well, that was a funny story, actually. It was, I had tried to get in touch with him, and you're right, he's virtually impossible, and the people who know him were sort of protecting him. I mean, they weren't revealing where he was or how to get in touch, and he's unlisted. And I remember mentioning him, I think, to the amazing Kreskin, who is a, you know, very famous mentalist.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, you know, I know this 100-year-old guy, and he's a parapsychologist, he might know him. And anyway, roundaboutly, I managed to get a hold of him, and I'm friendly with him today.
Well, I think that's marvelous, because this is a man that I felt had tremendous integrity. I've never had the privilege of meeting him, but I think that he has a representation of intuitive talents and capabilities that are just outstanding. And he's a no-nonsense type of person. He doesn't have patience with any kind of arrogance or ignorance. I mean, this is just a guy that says, I know what I know. This is who I am. This is what I do. And I just think he made a significant contribution. And I've interviewed some of the people that have worked with him through the years, but I think he's just an amazing man. What was the biggest thing in your interacting with Ingo and finding out that you had remote viewing skills that was so significant to you?
That convinced me of my own ability, or about him?
Both.
What I absolutely love about him is, and you kind of latched onto that immediately when you were talking about the ability to have trained psychic ability. That was his whole thing. That's what he brought to the CIA, was the concept that you can train this ability, and it has a usefulness to it and a utility. I mean, it depends on how you look at it, whether the CIA was using it the proper way. But that's what he really brought to the table, made him so different in his approach with it, and that's what I really admired. And he is very, absolutely no-nonsense, and if he doesn't like you, forget about it. You're just, you know, you don't exist. You're kind of gone. What he taught me was, and at that point I really had no idea that I had any particular ability at all. He just all of a sudden pulled out a little piece of paper that was all folded up, and he said, you know, what is this? And I had, of course, no idea, and I'm sort of holding it, and I'm trying to feel or, you know, see if...
Are you with us? Oh, there we go. I think your voicemail is beeping in, so it's bleeping you out. Okay, so you were handed the package?
Right. He handed me... I don't know whether he handed it to me or whether I just looked at it, but I was trying to use my logical mind to figure out what was in it, and I couldn't. And so I just sort of gave up. And the way that I ended up, I tried to say what was in it. And I said, oh, I think it's cufflinks. And he said, nah. He said, just allow yourself to kind of float into it. Describe it. And once I did that, suddenly I was in my right brain and my holistic part of my brain, and I stopped trying to get the right answer. And I just went with whatever strange stuff floated into my mind. Once I did that, I very accurately described, once he opened it up, I saw it was a pair of diamond earrings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I learned how you use your brain when you're doing this. And it's not in the normal way that we're taught to use our brains. You have to untrain yourself in order to be trained.
I think that is one of the most difficult processes. Usually as children, we are doing it automatically. We don't think about it. I mean, you'll have a child walk up to you that's maybe 3 or 4 years old. They're very articulate frequently at that age. And they'll say, oh, you know what? You really should do, you got a headache, you need to take an aspirin, or you do something, and you look at this kid and you go, who are they? Why are they saying this to this person? And they're literally reading the person. They have not learned that they are not supposed to do this until they're taught not to do it. And I've had a number of clients through the years that were literally spanked, put in closets because they saw things about people, or if the family was extremely religious, they said, oh, it's the work of the devil. I mean, I've heard so many stories through the years, and it's really a sad thing, and I'm so pleased that we're finally in a positioning where we're more open in talking about this, because it is a natural part of us, and it is so necessary. It is so vital to our own balance and well-being, at least in my perception.
I agree.
And I think it's marvelous that you've gone through this journey. Now, one of the points you bring out, and this has been said forever as far as I'm aware of, women are far more intuitive than men. In your interviews and in your evaluation, why do you think this is so?
That was not really something I ended up discussing with people. It was more how I ended up researching it. And my overall starting point and my theory of discussing intuition is to first of all explain to people about what our senses are, you know. And then once I discuss, first of all, we don't just have 5 senses. We have maybe 40 or more senses,
mm-hmm.
and that's already, you know, a known fact. So we're getting in a lot of information that we either disregard or we're just not aware of it. And then once you, if you take that as sort of a theoretical model, then you start to apply it to men and women. It's very interesting because women, in all of the 5 basic senses, as a group, are much, much more sensitive. They take in much larger amounts of sensory information than men do. And if you have more information, it's going to look like you're more intuitive or, you know, a little bit more psychic or whatever you want to call it. But women, for example, in the category of taste, there's something called super tasters. It's a group of people that can taste things like textures and have burning sensations or sensations of creaminess or whatever that other people just don't. Well, they're more female super tasters. They did in the area of touch. Well, women are just more sensitive to touch, and people always think, well, you know, women are just, you know, they're more fragile. They experience, you know, pain more easily. Well, the fact is, women have more nerve fibers per square centimeter than men do, particularly in the cheek area. That's where they did research. We see better. More women are, I think they're, let's see, most people are trichromatic. Well, there's a group of tetrachromatic people who see a million additional colors than your average trichromatic person, and there's a much higher percentage of women who are tetrachromatics. I mean, you can go on and on that way, but women just have expanded sensory abilities to start with. On top of the fact that they have to figure out how men work so that they don't...
Oh, my goodness. Yes, there you go. You've bleeped away again. My personal opinion on this, Nancy, is that women have been endowed with this capability, because we are the ones that give birth to children, and we have to be able to be extra sensitive to things. I mean, how many women will be so tuned into the children that even when their so-called children are in their 40s, they're still aware of what's going on with them. It's really quite fascinating. Are you still with me, Nancy?
Oh, I'm still with you. I don't know what it is. I hear you fine, and I'm not getting any calls in, so I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. It's just that you bleep out, but it to my ear anyway. It's there, so that's why I wanted to be sure you were still with me. Tell us about how you decided and why you decided you wanted to train to be a psychic detective, because having worked in a police department, and I wasn't in the vice department either, that's a world that can be so dark and ugly. Why did you decide to go to that venue?
I have no idea, you know, how I got attracted to that immediately. I do think that in the psychic world, that it tends to break down into sort of, you know, the people interested in healing, mm-hmm. and people interested in making prophecies, and people interested in this kind of work, psychic detective work. I don't really say because I'm so intellectual. I think I can. I don't get dragged down by the emotional piece of it, which I think is mm-hmm. huge, especially for empaths and people who really tune into the emotional side of things. I have extremely well defined boundaries, just because I started out my life. I'm an attorney by training, so you know that's how I am. And I have no problem going into areas that I perceive as, you know, difficult or complicated or gory or whatever, because I'm looking at them like a piece of a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking, you know, my ability to solve that puzzle, I view as my service to humanity. Because it's all service.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I would like to know what your training process was like to do this. Now, you had the opportunity to interact with Ingo Swann, develop remote viewing capabilities, which you were very strong in. And I know when I've worked with some students as recently as a year ago, it was absolutely intriguing to me how some were going to be, if they wanted to, very good in remote viewing, and others would be very good in other areas. And again, there's so many variables, it's just fascinating. That's why I love this work so much. But with remote viewing, that is something that can really be an advantage. How were you trained so that you could work with a police department?
I think that we're the ones training them.
Good point.
And, you know, every time that I'm working with law enforcement, I really feel I have to explain to them the process. And I don't know whether it's just my process, you know, or whether this would be true for most psychic detectives, but I always explain it. It's like a dance. I like to work with, you know, almost no information to start off with. I like to work with a question. And then I do remote viewing, and I love remote viewing. And
mm-hmm.
I'm always astounded, truly astounded by the kinds of results that you can get from it. And they're not always right. And anybody who says that, you know, they're always 100% right, well, you should never listen to them, because that just doesn't happen. But you can get tremendous information. And then what I do is I feed that back to them. And at that point, what I need from them is feedback on my feedback. So
mm-hmm.
I call it, it's like a dance. It sort of goes back and forth and back and forth. And what it does is, I think, helps them to focus some of their investigative efforts, you know, into particular directions. It's a kind of a confirmation, I think, for them. Or it may give them bits and clues that they might not have been looking for before then.
I agree. And one of the greatest challenges when you're doing this is knowing how to ask questions. And that is something that through the years when I was interacting in public environments and with various individuals, they would ask me questions, and I would say, well, this is what I see, this is what I perceive, this is what I feel, whatever was appropriate for the question.
Right.
But one of the things that my husband, who is a very astute observer, he said, it's how the question is asked. You have to know how to ask someone a question, because I may ask a question, is the sky blue? And in your perception, you may say, no, What I'm looking at gray that's got a little bit of dark edging here. I don't know exactly what I'm looking at, but I've got some blue over here, and I've got a little bit of a multicolor thing over here in the right corner. I don't understand what that is. Well, someone that doesn't understand may not realize that you're looking at maybe a piece of sky that is in Australia. You got a rainbow because there's been a storm that's gone on, and you've got rain flow that's falling, so you're seeing a rainbow up in the upper corner, and you got the storm clouds down in the left corner. Now, maybe what I'm saying doesn't make too much sense, but I'm trying to give...
No, it makes a lot of sense. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And so here you've got someone that's saying, okay, is this person dead? Well, the interesting thing is that if you have someone that's working as a detective, one, they have to be very good as an observer. Two, they have to listen in a way, I feel, that if you said, I am looking at said individual in said place, and this is what I'm seeing, and to be able to give the smells, the visual, the audio, whatever you may pick up in your mind's ear, all of this, and to be able to give that to them, you have to give it without any bias. They have to play detective. I mean, it's just amazing to me why people don't get this.
The detectives have to play detective?
Yeah, they have to play detective sometimes with the information you're giving them. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's the whole concept. I think people have a real problem with, especially skeptics, you know, say, well, you know, you didn't hit the nail on the head. That wasn't it, you know, the exact description, the way we understand the way the world works, you know, it's in black and white, and you have a single description for everything. Well, that's not how it works in the psychic world at all.
Doesn't work in the real world either. Any attorney like you could say that. You have somebody, you can have 14 people seeing the same thing, and they all see 14 different frames of it.
Yes. And I think that once you let go of that need to, like, you know, lock in something, you then can start, you expand on this. What is it, you know, when they talk about a psychic hit, meaning you get the absolute correct answer. Sometimes it's absolutely dead on correct. Sometimes you're going to get a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, more likely than not, you're going to get a piece of it. And people like to say, oh, well, you didn't get it. Well, yeah, actually, you did get it.
Mm-hmm.
You got something that was useful. And if anybody had thought to, you know, add two and two and two together, they'd get the right answer.
I agree. And I have heard stories by people, whether they're medical professionals, whether they're legal professionals, in real estate, moms, it doesn't make any difference. They have learned how to pay attention to those little pieces of something that they get. I think of a man who was driving down a freeway, and he got a picture of his son in his son's plane, and he just had to pull off to the side of the road because the picture was like someone just turned a camera on in his head, and he's seeing this, and he hears the engine, he knows his son is in trouble. Well, he can't do anything. He's on the side of the road. This is just right in his head. Well, he finds out 2 hours later his son was in his Cessna or whatever it was, and the engine was conking out. So there was a telepathic communication that went from the son to the father, and the father was highly intuitive. Highly intuitive. He used it all the time in his business.
Yeah.
He learned, he understood it. But he just knew what he was seeing was in real time. He was right there, remote viewing, if you will. But he hadn't planned on getting this. He was getting a download. That's how I describe it.
Yes.
And he said it just blew him away. Now, I was one of the few people he ever discussed this with, because his peers probably would have laughed him out of the room.
But stories like that are unbelievably common, especially with women, I find.
Oh,
more
yeah.
With, you know, women and their kids, they're just always getting downloads. I mean, and, you know, right at the moment their kids are in car accidents, or their, you know, chandeliers about to fall on their heads, or you name it. You know, I find that mothers in particular can tune in like nothing else. It's incredible.
Well, I think, again, Mother Nature has endowed the female with that capacity, because if she does not have that capacity, you look at any animal out in the wild, and they know. They have it. The mothers sense it. They know if their babies are going to die. They know these things, and there's a response. It's phenomenal, but it's part of the survival for the species, I believe. I think it's necessary.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm sure that's true.
You go into your book into psychic hearing, into psychic seeing, and even into synesthesia, which I just am delighted that this is something that's coming out more. I don't do it, but I'm aware that there are people that do, where when they hear music, the music is in color in their mind, or they can taste color. This is red. This is orange. There are so many variables. When you went through all of your interviews, did you find that it got more exciting for you the more people you talked with?
I cannot stop being fascinated by this whole field. And the more people I talk to, of course, absolutely, I'm more and more fascinated all the time. And I'm also, I just have this feeling that we are so incredibly close to getting some real scientifically based answers and explanations for this kind of phenomena, which I know is real now. I used to discount it and poo-poo it, but I know it's real.
Mm-hmm. It is real.
So, yes, I mean, I have met, I think, some of the world's most fascinating people, and I just feel incredibly privileged. I mean,
oh, I agree. I just think it's awesome to be able to interact with people at various levels. In fact, I was at a particular event yesterday. I met a 93-year-old woman from Germany. Her name was Irene. And Irene is just this vivacious, active. You'd never know she was 93. You'd think she was in her 60s. And we were starting to discuss this. She said, oh, goody, this is my favorite subject.
That's great.
Do you know, I remember the days when we couldn't take it. When I started meditating, my husband, the only place I could do it was in the bathroom. My husband would knock on the door. Are you burning a candle in there? What's going on in there? She said, leave me alone.
That's funny.
So she was going through this, you know, 60 years ago. And she said, now you can talk about it. She said, oh, I just love it. This is my favorite subject. We just had a blast. It was absolutely wonderful. And I agree with you. It's wonderful we're bringing this out.
We were talking a little bit earlier about some of the sort of negative connotations about the name or the appellation of psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was interviewing the amazing Kreskin about that, he was telling me that way back when, apparently one of his good friends was the anthropologist Margaret Mead.
Mm-hmm.
And she had said to him, because he's never admitted to being psychic, he is a mentalist, and he likes to keep it that way, to keep it separate, and that way nobody ever attacks him for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to him, she said, you're really more than a mentalist. You should call yourself a sensitive. And sensitive was sort of the old-fashioned word,
mm-hmm.
Which is now just sort of coming back into being, but it doesn't have any of those negative connotations sometimes that the word psychic does. I think psychic gets linked up too much with sort of fortune teller stuff.
Well, I think what has happened, because the origin of the word is beautiful. It means soul. There is so much, that's so much beauty, but people sometimes, because of fear and ignorance, want to make it into something outside of its true reality. And we've had all kinds of movies made on it and different things, and the fear is promoted. There are various organizations that promote fear. And I just thoroughly enjoy sharing with people, as we have done today, the reality that this is something you can learn to work with, honor and respect it. I don't care whether you're male, female. I don't care what part of the planet you came from or if you're from outer space. It doesn't make any difference to me. This is a gift. It is a capability that belongs to you. Don't be afraid of it. And I will say, Nancy, that your book, Psychic Intuition, really surprised me, because it was nothing like I expected it to be. And I think you have taken it onto a different level that is going to empower people with information in educating them to understand the variables and maybe to open up to their own capabilities and talents. Now, your website is theskepticalpsychic.com, theskepticalpsychic.com, which I think is pretty neat. And Nancy's last name is French. It's small D-U, capital T-E-R-T-R-E. Go and check out her website. Nancy, thank you so much for being my guest today.
No, Tana, thank you so much, and I take everything you told me very, very much to heart, because that's everything that I've wanted to accomplish. I'm so glad.
You've done it.
Thank you.
You've done it with this book. In fact, someone could use it in a course in a college or in a high school if you wanted to. But I think it's just marvelous. You've done an incredibly fine job. Thank you very much again for being my guest. And when you come out with your next book, be sure and send it to me.
I'd be delighted. Thank you.
Donna Sebo here. Nancy Dutertre. I'm not saying it exactly correctly, but it's Dutertra. Check out our website, theskepticalpsychic.com. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. After that, sit back, relax, and just let me tell you what I perceive for you as an individual, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you might be interested in. Now, before I share some information with you on various items today, I want to be sure to mention the appearances that I'm going to be doing this month. Now, on the 26th, which is going to be a week from tomorrow, I'm going to be appearing at the Progressive Spiritual Center at 6108 Mount Tacoma Drive, Southwest in Lakewood, Washington. We'll be starting at 6:30 in the evening. We're going to be talking about psychic ability, developing same. Mental ecology is the theme. There's a small fee of $10 at the door. I'm going to be doing a class, also doing some mind demonstrations. So it's going to be very interactive, come casual, and I hope that you will enjoy the process. I know I always love the teaching. Then on the 30th, there's a very special event. That's Saturday the 30th. It is going to be put on by the Ascension Foundation. The location is the Best Western Plus at River's Edge Meeting Room, and that is in the South Center Mall area. And it's going to be two events in one day. From 10 a.m. until 4:30 in the afternoon, we will have an open door to the public. There's going to be all kinds of people there. There's going to be healers. There's going to be psychics. I'm going to have a booth there. I'm going to be doing mini readings for people, and I'll have scads of books. And then we are going to be closing it down, like I mentioned, at 4:30, and we will be opening up for a very special evening event, which is going to start at 6 and end at 10. I'm going to be one of the VIP speakers, and there are going to be as many as 3 other people, including Michael Shane, who's going to be doing demonstrations of mind and physical phenomena. That's really quite fascinating. So if you want more information, go into my website, DelphiInternational.com, and go to the newsletter section. Everything is right there for you. Or you can go to theascensionfoundation.com and check out the information there if you want. You can call them at 206-356-6356. Really looking forward to doing that. And we're going to be having Michael Shane on the show in just a few days, and he's going to be one very special person at this event. It's going to be quite special. July sings its music and sunlight, its song in flowers. Rita Hyle put that little statement together, and I really liked it. I just think that this time of the year is awesome. I was visiting with some people yesterday. Mount Rainier is one of the most spectacular mountains you can ever want to see in the month of July, especially since we've had such a cold, cold spring here in the Pacific Northwest. The wildflowers are coming out a little bit late, but it is a feast for the eyes and for the soul because that mountain is just covered in color and blooms. These wonderful wildflowers that only grow up in the mountains. Absolutely incredible. Well, today I wanted to share with you some fun things. One, if you've ever wanted to put on a family reunion and you go, oh, gee, how can I do it so it's not going to be a real drag? How can I put on the event and not be absolutely wiped out by the whole process? Well, I've got some wonderful information for you, and I wanted to share that with you, and I will in just a few minutes. But I had to tell you about something that I just think is a hoot. Have you ever heard of Pig Olympics? They have them. I had never heard of Pig Olympics. Now, apparently, this is done in Shanghai, and they just have, they love their pigs anyway. Pork is one of the favorite meats of the Asian world, and they just absolutely love their pigs. Now, these particular pigs that are in this Pig Olympics happening, they are grown in Thailand, bred and grown in Thailand, and they begin training soon after they're born, and they can start performing when they're a year old. Now, pigs are incredibly intelligent. They teach them how to run over hurdles, jump through hoops, dive into water, swim, and apparently the only thing they cannot do is fly. So you think you hear of everything? Well, you never know. But it is really amazing. These are incredible animals. They just are absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And, of course, if you watched the Rose Parade last year, you all probably saw the skateboarding dogs. Yes, Tyson, who is a bulldog, he's absolutely adorable. He skates every day and is able to get on the skateboard without any help. And he runs with three of his paws on the tarmac, and the fourth is steering his skateboard, and as soon as he gets up to par, up to speed, he jumps right on top of that skateboard and just goes wheeling right along. Yes, our animal friends are just amazing in what they're able to accomplish. Okay, so you're wanting to have a family reunion. How many families do you have? Well, if you're like someone I was chatting with yesterday, you might have as many as 56 cousins or more. Yes, I've been to some reunions where there have been at least 100 people that turn out. So that can be a big activity, and obviously there are going to be many members of the family of all ages. You're going to have little ones, you're going to have teenagers, you're going to have the adults, you're going to have the elderly. So you're going to say, how do I manage all of this? And the big thing to choose is apparently the right place for everybody to come to. I have a friend whose family, they do a reunion every single year, and they pick a place either in Washington or Oregon that has accommodations where people can stay. And the family in general loves camping, so a lot of them have RVs or have camping items that they take with them wherever they go. So they managed, the last time they had their big get-together, they picked a camping facility that had cabins that could be rented, and they set this all up, and it was absolutely marvelous. Even though the weather turned a little bit weird on them, they had a great time. So one of the best places to consider is a public park. It really is. Now, there's a website you can go to called family-reunion.com, family-reunion.com, and you can also check out halls, that can be rented, and you can go to localrentalhalls.com, localrentalhalls.com. And all you have to do is type in the information about where you're wanting to have the event, the locale, and they will give you all of these wonderful details. And involve everybody. Don't try to do everything yourself. That's rule number two. Everyone has to pitch in, and you need to account for everything, paper plates, plastic glasses. When you do that, there's a lot of stress taken off of you, especially if you're the one that's overseeing all of the organization. And you can, on your invitation, lots of people like to use Evite. Don't trust Facebook. I know a lot of people say, gee, this is really terrific. We have some friends just recently and had a special event. Nobody knew about it. They had been, a member of the family said, oh, well, I'll take care of it. They put everything on Facebook. They forgot about the emails that they had. So there was a number of another member of the family just started picking up the phone and calling people, and they hadn't a clue that an event was going on. They got a much bigger turnout because they took the time to make the phone call. So use email, use whatever aspects you want. But make sure you reach people. Otherwise, they're not going to know what's happening. They may feel a little bit left out. So do that, and then when you do send information to them, say, what would you like to contribute? This is the list. Pick whatever you want, and we'll take it from there. And you don't have to spend a whole bunch of money. You can make up banners. You can do all kinds of things. And that's what you can say is, let's be resourceful. Let's let the kids get in on this. What would we like to do? Do some brainstorming. That'll save you a lot of hassle. But it's fun when you get the younger kids involved as well. And find out about games that people might want to play. Depending on where you're holding the event, that's something that has to be considered. It's just not enough, especially if you've got a broad range of ages, to have good food. You know, the young kids are going to get restless. They're going to want to do something. So figuring out what things can be going on, what games can be played to keep the younger kids occupied, and that's why a park is really good, because you can set up for badminton. You can have all kinds of games that can be done, and those people that really like interacting with the youngsters that way, just give that job to them and let them do the work on that. And then also invite them to bring their favorite dishes, because sometimes people are really good at cooking one particular thing. And someone came up with an idea that I thought was absolutely amazing, and that is what they called a cupcake family tree. And what they did, they used ding-dongs to make the tree trunk, and this is something you would lay out. And then they made yummy chocolate cupcakes, and they covered them with green frosting, and they made decorations on top of the cupcakes. And one of the decorations was like an oak leaf pattern, and they wrote the person's name on that. Just absolutely adorable idea. So if you don't want to make the cupcakes, you can buy the cupcakes, but you could do something that's imaginative. Maybe you don't want to have a leaf that is the name plate, if you're not name tag for the cupcake. But it's absolutely adorable. And here is this, it's spread out. It's real easy to transport, and you can spread it out on a special table and just have this wonderful family tree. It'll just get oohs and ahs, and your imagination is the limit as to what you can do. So those are just a few tips. This is a time of year when people are getting together. We've gotten so many invitations to different events, and I just thought that these suggestions were really terrific. And one of the things I know that has meant a lot to my husband when we've gone to family reunions, there are some members of his family that are in their 90s. And he said, you never know if you're going to have the chance to see him again. So it means a lot to him when he's able to see his Aunt Elizabeth, who's 95, 96 years of age, and she's sharp as a tack. And then you see the little ones. It's just an amazing experience. So keep in mind, the reunions really are a very special event, but you can have a good time with them, and just know that, well, that's what life is all about, isn't it? Sharing good memories, good times, and good food. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. I have a recipe I want to share with you for Asian pork chops and fruit. And I've got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, maybe something else of some more. We'll be back. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Nancy Monson. We're going to be talking about how, through doing crafts, being creative, you can actually heal yourself. It's a wonderful topic. Nancy has just been involved with the making of things, and summertime is a perfect time to get in style, get involved with new projects. So we're going to be chatting with her. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Jack Gilbert. We're going to be talking about two books. One is Gilbert Fables, and the other one is going to be about a business book that he has written. So Jack is going to be with us on Wednesday. Rebounding, Teresa Musso. How do we go through the challenges of life? How do we bounce back from that which we think is just utterly, utterly devastating? Well, Teresa's got some wonderful ideas, and she's going to be sharing them with you. Setting the Captive Free, Dr. Sigtun. I don't have any time with my names today. Anyway, we're going to be talking about how you can take charge of your life and your space and be aware of how rich life can really be. So we've got some wonderful, wonderful guests. Now, by the way, if you want to find out who is coming up on the show, all you have to do is check out show information right here at BBS Radio under Donna Sebo, and you'll have it all at your fingertips. Don't forget, we're going to be appearing and having a special appearance with a number of talented people here in the Pacific Northwest, the Ascension Foundation, putting on an event on Saturday, July the 30th. Two parts to the event. Free admission to the public from 10 a.m. to 4:30, and then the evening event where there's going to be a lot of interaction with the audience one-on-one. I'm going to be a speaker. Michael Shane is going to be demonstrating many things. We're going to be there for you, and this is at the Best Western Plus, River's Edge in South Center in Seattle. Donna Sebo here. If you got that pad of paper handy and pen, I've got a recipe here. If you enjoy fruit, this is going to involve a little bit of ginger, lime juice, and a little bit more, but it's a twist in flavors, a different kind of taste, light, and I think spicy. And of course, I'm big on spicy food. So here we go. You're going to need 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1/2 teaspoon of grated lime zest. Fresh is best. 1 tablespoon of lime juice, 1 tablespoon of lime juice, 1 1/2 teaspoons of grated peeled fresh ginger. And it's very important you use the fresh because it has its own particular, punch to the dish. Then you're going to need 1/4 teaspoon plus 1/2 teaspoon of salt. 1/4 teaspoon plus 1/2 teaspoon of salt. The reason that 2 amounts are being given is because they're going to be used in different ways. 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, 1/3 cup of Asian sweet chili sauce, 1/3 cup of Asian sweet chili sauce, 1 tablespoon lower sodium soy sauce, 1 tablespoon lower sodium soy sauce, You need 6 nectarines and or plums, and you want to have them. 6 nectarines and or plums halved, and you, of course they're pitted. And you need a teaspoon of Chinese 5 spice powder. Teaspoon of Chinese 5 spice powder. Teaspoon of garlic powder. And then you need 6 boneless center cut pork chops, 3/4 inch thick, and that's going to be about 2 1/4 pounds, give or take a little bit. Now, you can do this with the broiler, or you can do it out on the grill. This is a wonderful, wonderful summer dish. Now, what you're going to do, you have your grill heating up, or you can use, again, your broiler, and that needs to be warmed up. Now, you're going to make the dressing first. You need to combine in a bowl your 2 tablespoons of olive oil, your fresh lime zest, lime juice, ginger, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. And you just zip that together. Now, you're going to have a glaze that you're going to use on your pork chops. And the glaze, all it is the chili and soy sauce. That's right. Just whisk that together. That goes in another small bowl. Now, your fruit, you want to put oil on it. Maybe just rub it with a little bit of olive oil. Or if you have the nonstick cooking spray, you can just spray your fruit with that. And you're going to want to grill your fruit. Or you can broil your fruit, whichever you prefer, whatever you have available, and you just turn it once. You just have to watch it because you want it lightly browned. It takes about 3 minutes per side of fruit. You want to remove it and put it to the side. It's going to cool, and once the fruit has cooled, of course, then you're going to cut the fruit halves in half, and then you put it in the dressing that you have prepared. Now, your 5 spice powder, your garlic, your remaining salt and pepper, you want to rub that over the pork, and then you want to grill or broil your pork for about 45 minutes, and then you want to turn it and brush with half of the glaze, and you want to then grill it until it's no longer pink in the center, and then you want to coat your pork with the remaining glaze, and then you serve it with the fruit. It's just something that gives you a whole different taste when it comes to the pork. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. And I also wanted to share with you a wonderful story about some mysterious melodies. Yes. Now, this occurred one Sunday afternoon in 1953, and it was in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, at St. John's Anglican Cathedral. The pipe organ began to play all by itself. In fact, there was a lesson that was being given, and it interrupted the lesson, and the congregation and the Reverend Skiner, who was presiding over the class, was just astonished. Now, what they found was that the sounds, these musical sounds, were escaping or coming through one pipe at a time, but they couldn't recognize the tune. It was very clear, but they couldn't recognize it. So they went up to look at the keyboard. Nobody was at the instrument. All of the people that were in the church were amazed as it played on for 20 minutes. Now, they called in experts to examine the machine. They found everything was fine. The instrument should never have been able to play at all without a person operating it. Well, that's not the first time this has happened. In 1849 in Paris, a music score from the opera Charles V apparently was the starting point for a lot of sad, tragic consequences. There was, I'm going to be running out of time, so I'm going to have to save this story for another time. Ah, yes, the mysteries of life. There are so many stories that are said, and when I think of my guest today, Nancy Duchocher, she did so much research on the psychic area. And research has been time and time and time again done where it has demonstrated and proven, I mean, the CIA were involved with this, for heaven's sakes, that it's real. What we need to do is recognize that we can develop it, and that's what I was saying regarding the interview today. It is a natural part of us. It is something we need to appreciate and enjoy, realizing it's there for us to use to empower us with our own lives. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're just about out of time here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are an individual, and as an individual, don't be afraid to explore, try new things. Life is meant to be lived with enthusiasm and zest, and you never know where the adventure of life is going to take you. You may end up in a territory of experience you never dreamed was possible. Isn't that magic? I think so. This is Donna Sebo. Hope you can join me tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.